Good to see you all. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, the very end of it, chapter 28, and we're going to be starting at verse 16. Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. The topic this morning is continuing steadfastly, or you could say the Lord honors faithfulness, or you could say keep on. You get the idea in those. Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11, Judas, of course, is now not amongst them, so it's the 11 that are left. Disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He told them before he went to the cross that he would join them again in Galilee, and apparently was specific enough that they knew where to go. And so after the crucifixion, and they probably got their courage screwed up to get out of the upper room and so forth, they headed to the place that Jesus had told them, which was a mountain in Galilee where he had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Well, yeah, okay. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you all, ye, in the King James, you all would be proper, go, it's the plural, go, and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe or to do or to practice all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And then over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 36. Peter has just finished preaching, explaining to this gathered multitude, people from all over the Mediterranean basin that had come to Jerusalem for the festival, the Passover and Feast of Weeks, and these great celebrations going on, people of many different languages and so forth. And Peter stands up and speaks and tells them how this Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, the Messiah, the Christ, had come and that they had killed him. It's a tough message. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts as conviction, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What can we do now? It's done. He's dead. We killed him. So what do we do? And Peter said to them, Repent. And as a follow-on, after you repent and are saved, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to you and I, all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or wicked generation. And then verse 41, then they that gladly received his word, those who were saved, were baptized, just as the Lord had told them earlier. And the same day there was added to them about 3,000 souls. And they, those believers, baptized, saved, baptized believers, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Now, in the original, there's a definite article in front of each of those. If you're an English person, you'd understand that. If you're not, it's just a the. So it would read in the original, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship and in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. These are special activities. It's not just breaking bread. We see later they broke bread from house to house. They had meals that they shared. And they had fellowship. But this is specific activities of the very first generation New Testament church. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done, noticed by the apostles, not by people, just by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions. Notice that they didn't give them to the government. They were their possessions. And they sold them and their goods and parted them among all men as every man had need. And so, in other words, they didn't pool their things and the government collect them all and go to a socialist government. They took their things. And if one person had a need, I would say, well, listen, I can sell my thing and help you with that debt. And someone else would say, well, I can sell my thing and I'll give you the money and you can help with your debt. So they shared what they had, helping each other get along. Because, of course, when they became Christians, they were probably put out of the temple and they were put out of the market and they were put out of virtually everything that it took to live. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. One other thing that you might notice if you go through there from verse 42 on down, you might circle all the ands. That's a method of writing where each of these is a continuation. It shows a continuation of thought. Each piece of the puzzle adds to the one before it. So it's a cumulative statement that's going on. And it's an interesting thing to see how many ands there are as you go through there. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, bless your word, we pray. We thank you for it. The men with the pens, the Holy Spirit with what to write, the Lord Jesus and you, the Father, behind it all, dictating what would be put down on these pages. And then all of the men and women down through the ages, the years, that gave up so much, even their lives, to give to us your word on nice paper. Paragraphs, chapters, verses, page numbers, bound in our language, that we can sit down at any point in time and pick it up and look into the history, his story of the Lord Jesus from Genesis 1 all the way to the end of Revelation, and have the whole of the telling laid out for us. What a blessing we have to have it. Father, guide it from these pages into our hearts. Don't let me get in the way. Let your Spirit be our teacher, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This was a birthday, not Tim's, but this was the birthday of the New Testament church, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, 50, a week of weeks plus one after the Feast of Weeks. And the church was born. The New Testament church was born. Something completely different. A whole new deal. The Lord said, it's going to happen, and it does here, that I'll not have my laws written on stone anymore. I'll write them on your hearts. And you'll have them on your hearts and in your mind and on your lips. It's not just words on stone anymore. It's on our hearts. The believer knows in his heart what the Lord wants from him. We may not do it all the time. I wish we did it more. I wish we did it better. But it's there. And we can't even say, well, I didn't know, because that dog doesn't hunt, right? He got it written down for us. Well, I didn't read that well. Maybe we should have, right? I should have spent a little more time in this book. It's an interesting, we've got two geniuses in our midst here, working on her Shveta. It almost sounds Scandinavian, I'll have to tell you that. Shveta could well be a Norwegian or a Swede with a name like Shveta. That's, I said it right? Close? Working on her master's? And Andrew? Yeah. Working on his PhD. I'm still working on my morning coffee. How many books are you going to get this year, do you suppose? You got any idea? More than one, probably, half a dozen each semester, maybe. Lot. And I don't know, on the PhD, he's writing his own book. Yes. What are you going to read? Whatever the professor tells me to read. Right? And my point is this: you know, when you're in school, I don't care if it's college or high school or grade school or what. You can take a semester, and they'll give you a book, or they'll give you 6 books or 10 books or whatever. And by the time you read it, and you're supposed to read it, right? Supposed to read it. But whether you read it or not, or study it, or get the crib notes or whatever, by the time the semester is over, you're going to pretty well have a handle on most of the stuff that was in that book, right? Pretty much. And the better the student you are, the more of it you will transplant from the book into up here, right? And the PhD, I don't know. He's just counting the years till he's done. This is a book that's different. This is a book you can study for your whole life and not have it all down. It's a supernatural book. I have, in my lifetime, been privileged to know some really smart Bible, they would call themselves Bible students, but Bible teachers, preachers, disciples, followers of the Lord, who really knew this book. Some that had vast portions of it memorized and knew where those memorized parts were. That's another whole issue. This is a book of books, and you will, if you're a serious Christian, hopefully you will spend your life reading and studying and thinking about this book, trying to get as much of it transplanted from the pages into your life, not just into your mind, but into your life, because it's an instruction manual for a people. Right? Someone said Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. But it really is an instruction manual for us, for a people. We have a Hyundai automobile. I like it. Used to have Mercuries, liked them when I had them. But I couldn't take the Mercury manual and repair my Hyundai based on the Mercury manual. Wouldn't work. I'd destroy my Hyundai. Or vice versa, couldn't use my Hyundai manual on the Mercury. You've got to have the manual from the people who built the vehicle because they know what it takes to make it work and run right. Same thing is true of us in our lives. We need the owner's manual for our people. We need to have it, but not just have it, we need to know what's in it enough to apply that in our lives so that our lives, the little machine that we drive around every day, run right. Run right. And as a person who I'm not sure if you could call it a benefit, but as a person who has had the benefit of working in a lot of people's lives, and usually by the time they come to me, it's that they've tried everything else and it hasn't worked. And now we're going to the preacher and see what he's got to say. And I can tell you, in virtually every case where there's a life that's messed up, it's because this book has not been followed. There's some, and most of the time it's something very easy that could be fixed, and the problem would be solved. I counseled a couple. Their marriage was falling apart. I tell a lot of stories, so if I've told you this, to just charge it up to an old brain. This couple came to me. Their marriage is falling apart. And so how did you find out about me? Somebody told me about you. And, well, what have you done so far? We've been to everybody. Nothing helps. I said, well, I can tell you. I can give you the answer. Now, whether you do it or not, it's up to you. But I can give you the answer. It'll fix your life. Give you a whole new life. You may not want to do it. It's up to you. I won't force you. It's your choice. So what seems to be the problem? Well, marriage is falling apart. Well, why? The wife says, he's never home. Oh, really? Well, why aren't you home? He said, well, I drive a truck. And he said, I drive the truck 300 and something days a year. I don't remember what it is now, but it's virtually all year. He's on the road driving a truck. That's how he makes a living. I said, well, this is easy. We can fix this tomorrow. Just quit driving the truck. Oh, he said, I can't do that. Why? Well, because that's what I do. Well, there's other things to do. You could work on trucks. You could get not a long-haul truck, but get a local truck. A lot of ways you can drive a truck right in the local area. No, he said, I like to drive on the road. So really what you're saying is, here's the truck driving, here's your wife. Going to keep the truck, get rid of the wife. He said, that kind of sums it up. I said, well, you want to change that? He said, no. I said, well, nice seeing you. And he left, and I guess they went down and got divorced. I don't know. Never heard anymore. We kind of do what we want to do, you know. But the book says, this book, that number one, we need the Lord in our lives. That's the number one thing. And then as a man, we're responsible for these ladies. We're supposed to be the providers, the protectors, spiritual leaders in our homes. And as unpopular as it is these days, ladies really need type A guys that will stand up and be counted and provide for them and protect them and be spiritual guides. Don't teach them too much. Don't teach them too much because they're smarter than us in a lot of cases. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This was the start of it. In the Old Testament, it was laws written on tablets of stone. Now they're laws written on our hearts. In the Old Testament, they had a temple. Now we're the temple. Listen, on Sunday morning, and I know, we slip into these terms, but most of Christianity today is patterned after Old Testament Judaism. You go to a temple, church, you go to the church, you go into the sanctuary, up front is an altar, and you've got a priest, he might be called a pastor, but he's the man. That's all Old Testament, right? We don't go to church, we are the church. You and I are the body of Christ. If you're a believer, you are part of the body of Christ. You are the church. You don't go to church, you are the church. You don't go to a temple, you are the temple. You're the temple of God. God lives within you. You're the housing place of God. You don't go in to see a priest. You are the priests, holy priests representing God to man, royal priests representing man to God, vice versa. It's a whole new thing. It's the new covenant. It's the new testament church. And those that were saved, verse 41, they that gladly received his word, they were saved. This was the answer to their problem. Their problem was sin. They had killed the Savior, or their representatives had. They got a big problem. What can we do? Well, repent. Be sorry for, have a change of mind toward, see it differently, your sin, repent, and be converted, changed over. You were lost, now you're found. You were a sinner, you're saved. You're a new creation in Christ. They that gladly received his word, the follow-on was be baptized. The Lord Jesus said, all power is given to me, and we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight, this power issue. All power is given to me, both in heaven and earth, Jesus said in Matthew 28. Therefore, you all go. So when you go out to talk to people, it's not you, it's the power of God working in you and through you and with you that's going to talk to people. You will always feel not up to it. If you're like me, I'm a very shy person. I'm very shy. People don't believe that, but it's really true. My wife can tell you that. If there's a group of people I don't know, you'll usually find me over in a corner just with myself. It's very hard for me to meet people. But I can meet a waitress. I can meet somebody at their door. I can meet somebody on the street very easily with the gospel. I can't explain that. It's just something that God does. It's the power of God working through you, and it's the same God I have that you have. And it's the same power that he has that works in me, it'll work in you. But we got to open the tap, so to speak. We got to go. That's the idea. There's nothing in the Bible about bringing unsaved people into the church. We bring believers into the church, into the gathering of believers, into the fellowship, the body, to equip them to go out. So the church, the gathering of the church, is believer equipping time. And so our teaching should be very practical, useful in preparing us to go out and reach people. Unsaved people are probably going to get bored with that. Right? They want something lively. They want something. They want to be entertained. And so much of the church now, in an effort to entice unbelievers in, is making a show out of the church gatherings. That's not what it's for. That's not what it's for. And the same day, there was added about 3,000 souls. This was a popular thing. There was people being saved. It was the gospel that did that. It was the power of God that did that. And then the next word is and it starts this whole series of ands. And there's a name for that kind of a sentence that I can't recall right now, but anyway, it's a whole series of these ands. And they continued steadfastly. It's an interesting, somebody got their concordance on their phone? Everybody probably. Look up continued. See what the word is for continued Greek. This is an interesting little, fun little word. Huh? Yeah, I don't care what Darby says. I'm looking for the Greek word. Because I'm a Greek scholar. I also fib. Huh? No. And what does it mean? Yeah, the actual meaning of the word is I hear. Like I'm here. It's a little bitty word that just means I'm here. Yeah, E-N. Yeah. Isn't it? See, now you could do that. You gave it to him.
It's okay.
Pass.
It's a compound word. A-N-E. And. I. Was.
I was. It's interesting. Continued. How do you continue? Well, by being there. Right? And so the word means I'm here. I'm here. It's a little bit, I looked it up and I thought, well, it's gonna mean those things, those others are expansions of that, how you would plow that into our vocabulary today. But the actual word just means I'm here. Well, what are you doing here? I'm continuing, right? You can't get me out, I'm here. Well, how about, I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be here the next day. Because why? Because I'm here. We continue. Now, how do we continue? Steadfastly. Unmovably. What does Darby say about that one? You see, I closed Darby down. So, you get the idea. I think it's neat that little... What is it? What does it say? Right, makes it one, kind of. He takes the thought meaning of the two words together and puts it, and his is really accurate, his is really right. But it's so simple. You're continuing. Yeah, right, I'm here. Well, will you be here tomorrow? I'm here. Tomorrow, the next day, I'm here. I'm continuing. And I'll continue the next day, and the next day, and the next day. I wish we could get rid of him. Can't. I'm here. Steadfastly. Unmovably. God honors faithfulness. You can never... We don't go to church. We are the church. And when you decide that this is the gathering that you want to be a part of, the gathering of little local church, little gathering of believers that come together here in this place. Now, you might say, well, I'm going to University of Alabama at Montgomery. Huh? Auburn. I'm sorry, that was a real... You're going to Auburn. Everybody's going to Auburn. But you go to Auburn at Auburn. It's very complex. And you go to Auburn at Montgomery. Okay. You guys make a preacher's job hard. But you decided to come here. You just decided that. There's other places you could have gone. No other assembly in the area. But somebody referred you and said, this is a good place, and he didn't steer you wrong. It's a good place. And I don't know, you got a referral from somebody or you looked it up or something, found this place. But down in here, you made a choice that I'm going to go there and try it at least. Go there and try it. And you came and you liked it, and so you've continued on. You think that there was a choice made in your mind or in your heart. In reality, God said, you know, there's things about that young lady, Shveta. You'd think she was a Scandinavian. There's something about that little Shveta. I've got a plan for her. And there's a need over there at Central Bible Chapel in Millbrook, Alabama. And they need just exactly what Shveta has to offer. I think I'll plug her in over there. Now, how'd you get to Auburn? You applied. And they accepted you. It was your choice, it was their choice, right? No. It's God's choice, right? Right? There's no coincidences. And the same with you with your engineering. There's a lot of places you could go for to be way smarter than me. You could have stayed home and been way smarter than me. But there was God working, and he said, you know, this young man has something to offer. I don't know what it is. Something to offer that Central Bible Chapel needs. I think I'll just plug him in there. And he did. And there's all kinds of things that happened, visible things that happened, that make us think, well, I applied, they looked at it, they weighed me against all these others, I won, I got the scholarship, or whatever the case may be, and that brought me, no, God has a construction project going on, one of which is right here at Central Bible Chapel. There's another one going on down at Slidell Bible Chapel in Slidell, another one up in Montgomery, or in Birmingham. He's got projects going on all over. And he needs living stones to put into that construction project. And Tim is a safety engineer kind of a person who looks at things and tells if they're built right or not. And if it was a physical project, he could look at it and say, you know, he would say, Andrew, okay, huh? No, but Andrew. Tim would look at Andrew and say, you know, he's just the right person to be here. He's just the right, and you know, we might say, and you know, he fits, right? That's how we would say it. He fits. And Shveta, she comes here and she fits. We like her. She fits right in. Why? Because there was a vacancy for that whatever, gift, talent, thought process, I don't know. It's a living construction project, the New Testament church. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing because it's God building the body of his son on earth. He's the head. Jesus is the head. He's in heaven. You and I make up the body, and all believers everywhere since the day of Pentecost till he comes back, make up the body here on earth. People look to see what Jesus is like. They look at us. When Jesus was on earth, his disciples would say, when are you going to show us the Father? And he said, well, you've seen me, haven't you? Well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, Father's just like me. I'm a reflection, so to speak, of the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's just like me. When people wanted to know how God loves, they could look at the Lord Jesus and he'd tell them, I love you. I love you. Love you enough to lay my life down for you. If they want to know how God cares, they could watch Jesus. Want to know what God is like, they could look at Jesus. And in the upper room, just before they crucified him, he said to his disciples, you know, it's not long, I'm going to be going away. And where I go, you can't come. And so, another commandment I give you, that you love one another. And by this, by your love, will all men know that you're my disciples. And so, when Jesus went back to heaven, how do people find out what God's like? They look at us, right? Want to know about God's love? Look at our love for each other. They sold what they had to support each other. You got a need? I can help you with that need. I maybe have a need. You can help me with that need. It's a living organism. It's the body of Christ. And it only works if... Where is Andrew today? Where are you? I'm here. Right? There's the word. I'm here. Where's Sveta today? I'm here. There's the word. Continuing, right? You're continuing. You're here. It only works if we're here. Right? Because you can't continue steadfastly if you're not here, right? You can't be part of the construction project if you're not here. You're putting in your piece of the puzzle, so to speak. One day the project will be complete. The last little stone, might be a big one, might be a little one, might be a little bitty. The last little stone we put in place. And we'll hear the trump and the shout, come up here. And the church will be taken out. Taken out. In the old Hebrew days, the man would propose to his bride-to-be, pay a dowry maybe, and make a promise. I'm going to go and prepare a place, usually in his parents' home, and when it's all ready, I'm going to come back and get you. And on some day, she didn't know what day, he would come. And all his friends with him. Merriment, music, dancing in the streets. They'd come, they'd stand outside her home, and the new groom would shout up, honey, come out, come out. And she'd come out, and he'd take her to his father's home. One day, the last soul will be saved, and we'll hear a shout in the trumpet of God, and the shout, come out, come out, and the church will be taken out. Great jubilation, great jubilation. The bridegroom is coming for his bride one day. And until then, our job is to continue to be here, right? I'm here, steadfastly, faithfully, ongoing, in these little building blocks of the local church, in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching. This is an equipping place. We're supposed to be being equipped to be the church, to be the building blocks of the church, to be his witnesses, to be his testimony in this world. We're all different. We look different. We have different personalities. We have different likes and dislikes. Now, all of those things sometimes can cause, our differences can cause problems sometimes, right? Our differences can cause problems. But it's the differences that make it like a variegated plant, a plant that has many different colors to it, makes it interesting. And you can do things that I can't do. And I can do things that you can't do. And with all of those different things, it's like a puzzle. You know, a puzzle has protrusions and indentions. And we could say that those protrusions are good points, our talents, our abilities, our gifts. And the indentions are things that we lack. I can't do everything. I can do this pretty good, not this, I'm no good at that. This one, I can do that, and not that one. But you have the same thing, and they fit together like pieces in a puzzle. And the Lord knows the things that you can do and the things you can't do. So there's no room for me to get my nose out of joint because you're doing something I can't do. I should be thankful you can do something I can't do. You should be thankful I can do something you can't do, because the whole thing ties together, and that's what makes the body. Nothing worse than, which we did at a camp one time. My wife likes puzzles, and we put this big puzzle together, and when we were done, there was one piece missing. It was really frustrating, really frustrating. Now, you could still see, you know, what the puzzle was supposed to be, but it would have been a lot better if all the pieces were there. And there's some days, as our body and Slidell come, you probably don't have this problem, but as our body and Slidell comes together, I think, there's a piece missing. We've got a fella in our meeting. He'll probably watch this. So I'll be in trouble or something. Joe contributes to every worship meeting we have. Just about. He might miss one once in a while. He's always there, unless he's sick, but he's always there. But he always contributes. But you know what he contributes? A poem. He always reads a poem. I've never heard him repeat the same poem. I don't know where he gets them. I'm sure he gets them online. I don't know. But they're really good. They're really good. And I'll tell you what, when he's not there, I miss it. Now, it's not some great theological tome, you know. But it's precious. It's precious. And I miss it. And I told him one day, I said, you know, you weren't here last Sunday. I really missed your poem. And he was really surprised. He said, really, you did? I said, yeah. I'm not looking for you to be a Greek scholar or something. I'm looking for you to bring your heart out here. And he does in a poem. You've heard him do it, haven't you? It's really good. Really good. So, Joe, if you're watching, here's to you. Everybody has something that you can do that somebody else can't do. But you got to be, I'm here. Right? I'm here. And I'm willing to participate in whatever that might be. When you're young, Shveta, and you look out at all the hoary heads that are out there, some of us getting more so than others, you might think, well, what can I contribute? You know, those people have lived a long time. I don't have much to contribute. I don't care how old you are, Haddon. I don't care how old you are. You've got something to contribute. You've got something to contribute. The little bitty guys this morning contributed. They carried the emblems away. I don't know where they went. I don't have any idea. But they contributed. That's their piece right now, right? And as they're faithful in doing that little piece, their piece may grow, right? These folks continued steadfast. They were there, and they faithfully went along in the apostles' doctrine, in the teaching about these things. The fact that you've got a part, that you've got to contribute that part, that you're a piece of the action, so to speak, we could say. And in the fellowship, that's not just dinners. It's not just what we had between the meetings. That's a form of it. But fellowship is joint participation. Right? When we have a fellowship dinner, you bring a little something, I bring a little something, you take away something, I take away a lot. We share, right? It's jointly participating in the work of the New Testament church. It goes way beyond just meals. It goes way beyond. Somebody has to set those emblems out there and worship. Somebody has to pick them up. Somebody runs the technology. Somebody who's a lot smarter than me runs the technology. And there's somebody else that can critique how well he does it. I don't know. And he may say, you know, you could do that a little different if you do this. You know, everybody's got a piece of the pie. The it's jointly participating in this New Testament church. It's a whole new thing. It's really important. And in the fellowship. And in the breaking of the bread. Right? That's the remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Now you might say, well, the women can't participate. Oh, they do participate. It's just that they can't teach men or take authority over men. But when someone is praying, I hope they're praying along with them. I hope they're praying on their own. I can't tell you how many times I've requested a song or read a passage, and on my way out between meetings, some lady has said to me, you know, Bob, I was just praying that somebody would read that passage. Or I was just praying somebody would call out that song. Now, how did it get from them to me? Well, we've got a great interpreter in between us, right? And in the prayers. Wednesday night prayer meeting, very important. Wednesday night. It's important, right? Be there. It's not just something that you add on. It's really when you find out what's going on. There was a time that I would pray, you know, pray for me, I'm having my knee replaced. Well, that's important for you to pray for me with my knee, right? I thought. It wasn't too important to you, but you prayed, right? And then the next time you may say, hey, listen, pray for me, I'm got a test coming up. Okay, we'll pray for you. I wouldn't know you have a test coming up if you didn't come Wednesday night and let everybody know. Now, here we learned this morning, but Wednesday we could find out how it went. Everybody participates in all of these things. These are foundation blocks of what the New Testament church is made of. The apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, joint participation, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. And it resulted, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the whole idea. As we function as a New Testament church, God blesses. He blesses faithfulness. He blesses faithfulness. Father, bless your word, I pray. Make it practical. Use it in our lives. Help us to do the church. Be the church, but not only be the church, but to do it, to practice it, to carry it out day by day. We give you thanks for each other, for our time together today, for each one. We do pray for these tests that are coming up and the schooling that will go on for those that are in school. Help them to mature into the godly men and women that you have them designed or that you're in the process of creating them for, designed them and creating them for, and use them greatly for your good and for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name.